turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. Just one of those passages that has a number of repetitions. Those always pique my interest in how the repetition is there. Obviously, it's there for a reason. And so we find this passage in many more passages in Scripture that we'll get to it. But for right now, Deuteronomy 31 and 6, amen. We'll trust that the Lord's blessing will be in your lives. Let's read together this passage, and then we'll be flipping through several others to see the same word, the same message. All right, let's read. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. What a promise. Praise God. And the admonition, be strong and of good courage. I'm thankful that even in our day, in our time, we can heed that message and know there's a presence of God that makes it real. Amen. The promise of God that we can stand upon, and I'm thankful for strength and courage. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. Now, the admonitions came to Moses, who passed them on to Israel in Joshua. The text that we read, be strong and of a good courage, is repeated in verse 7, the very next verse. Be strong and of a good courage. That word comes forth to reinforce what has been said. And then in verse 23, there it is again. Be strong and of a good courage. Praise God. I thank the Lord that there is that element that God wants to impart to us based on his word and his presence. Be strong and of a good courage. Then when Joshua became the leader, Moses went to the mountain, and the Lord either took him, or he died, or whatever happened to him, but we know he appears again on the Mount of Transfiguration. However, the same message is passed on to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, it's the same message, but a little different wording. Be thou strong and very courageous. And then verse 9, be strong and of a good courage. Praise God. The repetition seems to drive home the point. You can be strong and of a good courage. And it's not just a mantra or a saying or philosophy or anything like that that has no power behind it and no personality. Not personality, but the power of God behind it. It's something that we can claim. Then Joshua passed that same message on to Israel in verse 18 of chapter 1. Be strong and of a good courage. Later on in the book, chapter 10, verse 25, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. And so the point is, of course, to recognize it's the Lord who is giving that admonition, and it's the people of God who are to receive it and continue on. It occurs again when David is instructing Solomon concerning the temple. 1 Chronicles 22 and 13, David is an elderly man at this point. Solomon is the one who is to receive the throne and to build the temple. And David passes on the message in 1 Chronicles 22 and 13. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. So it continues on. And David was reminding Solomon of what the Lord said to Moses, what was repeated time and again. And then in chapter 28 and verse 20, David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage. He repeated it to him and for his benefit. And do it concerning the construction of the temple. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the services of the house of the Lord. So when the work of God was taken on, when they purposed in their minds and in their hearts to walk in the commandments of the Lord, God made the assurance, I'm going to be with you. You don't need to fear. You don't need to hold back. You don't need to dread or be dismayed. I am with you and will not fail you. Praise God. And there were additional times when the threat was very real. 2 Chronicles 32:7, Hezekiah the king is trying to encourage Judah because there is a threat of annihilation from the Assyrian army. And so he basically says the same thing, probably keeping in mind what he had heard and what he had learned. 2 Chronicles 32:7, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. Praise God. And so thank the Lord that there was that focus on what God could provide and how the Lord could bless. And remember, more with us than be with them? One angel. 185,000 soldiers of the Assyrian army. And then Sennacherib killed by his own sons in the house of his God. Not much protection there. Not much deliverance. Not much victory. Because he was foolish enough to tackle the people of God who trusted in their Lord. Now, let's review just quickly. What conditions made this admonition necessary? Why were they told to be strong and very courageous? For the Israelites, they needed to continue on conquering and claiming the promised land. They had just made a 2-week journey in 40 years. And so now it was time to move on and do the work of the Lord. The delay was too long. The problem was too great. Now, move on, because that's what God desires you to do. The occupying forces of nations and even the giants are going to be defeated. Praise God. And I'm thankful we have the record and know how powerful the changes were that came. David's admonition to Solomon, you need to build and complete the temple. And David let him know, I've prepared with all my heart, with all my might, for the building of the temple and the house of my God. And he was focused on that temple being completed. He wanted to build it, but the Lord said, no, your son. And so he wanted to do all he could to help the next generation excel in serving the Lord. And he reminded Solomon, God is with you. You don't need to be fearful. You don't need to hold back. Amen. The king, Hezekiah, needed to reassure the people. Sure subjugation or annihilation. The king of Assyria had been successful throughout the region. There had been many kings defeated. There had been many nations that were made slaves, and it was now on Judah's doorstep, and they were making their boasts about how they defeated other gods and how they defeated other nations. And it's amazing how they had the audacity. You turn to Isaiah 36:14, and the audacity to say, don't let Hezekiah deceive you, as though the king of Judah would be the one who would be guilty of deceit. He went on in Isaiah 37:10, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee. What in the world? This is pretty rank for him to be making the statement. Don't let the king deceive you. Don't let your God deceive you. No matter how much you trust in him, no matter how many times you prayed, no matter how much you believe, Don't let deceit come into your experience. And they were offering a way for them to remain alive, but to be slaves. Now, who was the one that was deceived? It was the king Sennacherib, to think that he could defeat the God of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. And we know how that turned out. Praise God. So, we don't have like circumstances in the situations that we face. However, there is the need for conquest. There is the need for the temple to be completed. There is the need for the trust in the Lord. And we recognize that in a spiritual realm and how important it is to be able to fulfill it and walk in God's promises. Remember who is with you. Amen. The Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. And thank God that there is that power and that blessing. Moses wanted God with them. Remember, if you lead us up, we'll go. But if you don't lead us, we don't want to go. Amen. I think that's a good determination to make even now. If the Lord is leading us, we can step forward. If we don't feel his leadership, we don't feel his direction and guidance, we need to stay put. Amen. But when you do step out, you don't go alone. You're not by yourself. God for us, God with us, God in us. Thank the Lord. He continued that plan and he fulfilled it. Praise God. And we know what the work of the Lord is. And I like how Hezekiah said, don't fear all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. Praise God. And those may be hearing Hezekiah. Maybe that's the point that the spokesman for Sennacherib said, don't let Hezekiah deceive you. You think you've got more than us? And may have, you know, tried to count the numbers. And maybe that was his point of saying, don't let Hezekiah pull the wool over your eyes. But thank God, a minority can become the majority when you're walking with the Lord. Remember that prayer that Elisha prayed when his servant saw the host of the enemy surrounding the city. And Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes. I think we need to pray that prayer for ourselves sometimes, because we may feel isolated. We may feel alone. We may feel like we're facing the hardship or the enemy on our own, but praise God, there be more with us than with them. Thank the Lord. I'm thankful for the blessings of God and the hand of the Lord that would be there. Remember Jonathan and his armor bearer as they stepped out and they went forth, and Jonathan said, it may be that the Lord will work for us. For there's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And I would call two just a few. But they went to the cliff. The Philistines were on the top. And Jonathan, you know, said to his servant, if they say, come on up, we know God has given them into our hands. What would you have said for a sign? If they say, we're coming down to you, you know, that would be one thing. I think I'd like them to fall off the cliff. If they fall off the cliff, we know God has given them into our hands. But they said, come on up. So they went up. Amen. And God gave them the victory. Praise the Lord. So he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. The cross may have seemed like a defeat. It may have seemed like it was over. It may have appeared as though it's done, it's finished. And the Lord did say it's finished. But what he was referring to was the victory for salvation. Praise God. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But he shed his blood for us. Thank God. And I'm thankful that we know it was a powerful victory. Amen. And I'm thankful that he doesn't forsake us so that we can remain faithful and be blessed in the Lord. So the question is, what conditions and challenges do we face now that we need to be encouraged, be strong, and very courageous? What conditions?
Sometimes I feel enslaved to my sin.
We let the Lord take care of that problem, that difficulty, and anything else that we face, anything else that we're up against. Amen. I'm thankful the Lord is there to minister to us. But If I'm sitting comfortably in the church and everything's going good, do I need to hear be strong and very courageous? I'm one step away from complacency. Now, complacency may seem like a weak response, but complacency is hard to overcome. It's hard to break out of. You get comfortable, you get, this feels good. We're on cruise. We're doing great. We're just moving right along. It's when you're facing a challenge. It's when you're up against a condition that you have no answer for. It's when you're facing the impossible that you need to hear, be strong and very courageous. Praise God. Somebody made the statement, I need to be comfortable walking in the Spirit so that anything else is uncomfortable. Get it? So that you're so used to hearing the voice of the Spirit that when you don't, that's uncomfortable. When you don't feel that impulse, you don't feel that direction, that, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? I need to pray, I need to fast, I need to read the Word, I need to be in His house, I need to get in touch with Him. Praise God. And that becomes the necessity, because the power of the Lord is so important. He's our comforter, He's our counselor, and we need Him close to us. Amen. To see a need and not be quick to react is complacency. That's a problem. Apathy is not apostolic. We've got to be able to respond to the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Don't reinforce complacency. Reinforce your response to the Spirit. Amen. That's called being Spirit-led. And thank God, the power of God is there. All right. Those of you who took physics in high school or college, what is inertia? Inertia. That's not your neighbor. That's something that's in one spot, is going to stay in one spot until it's moved. Or if the object is moving, it's going to move in that direction until another force operates on it and changes either direction or stops it. I'm glad it's both stopped and moving, because sometimes in my mind, inertia is just stopped. You know, I've got to overcome inertia. We need to be moving into the harvest. Because the Lord declared there is a harvest. It's a great harvest. It's a plenteous harvest. But there needs to be laborers in the harvest. Amen. And sometimes when we hear that, we think about Africa. Oh, if I could go over and just help the Eichards, I would be a laborer in the harvest. No, cross the street and knock on a door right there. Amen. Teach a Bible study to somebody that you know that may be hungering and thirsting for the Lord and not really knowing, not really understanding, not really comprehending. How can I understand except some men guide me? We need to hear the Ethiopian say. And many like the Ethiopian, who is hungry, who is desiring, who's in the Word, but not understanding it. And they need you to come along. Amen. And thank the Lord, you can be strong and courageous in your response. Ephesians 6 and 10, the apostle says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And sometimes the admonition is to stand therefore. And then the armor is described. But we stand in His power and we move in His power. And thank God that His hand is there to minister to us. I think about Gideon and how he was fearful, how he was hiding behind the wine press and trying to winnow the wheat and get a little bit of grain, a little bit of food, and provide for himself and for his family. and didn't want the Philistines to come and steal it like they'd been doing for years. And so the angel appears and calls him a mighty man of valor. And his response is, if the Lord be with us, then why? You know, very much a human response. But Judges 6 and 14, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? It was Midianites that were oppressing them, not the Philistines. Now, Gideon again responded with a need of proofs. Now, here he is talking to an angel, and then fire comes out of the rock, and then the fleece needs to be wet, and then it needs to be dry, and then he has to go down to the camp of the enemy and hear the interpretation of a dream. How many proofs do you need? And we put on Gideon's hat many times. I say, all right, God, if you'll just show me one more time, maybe I'll teach that Bible study. And he's already shown us seven times. But we deal with fear. Fear is a condition where we need to hear, be strong and very courageous. The text said, fear not, nor be afraid. You know, somebody has counted that there are those commands or similar. Be not afraid, fear not, do not fear, and so on. There's 365 of them. One for every day. Praise God. So every time you wake up in the morning, you claim that promise from Lamentations that his compassions are new every morning, and then you claim you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to fear. You don't have to be crippled by the devil trying to paralyze you with fear. Now, you may have seen the acronym FEAR. Anybody seen that? False evidence appearing real. That's kind of cute, isn't it? False evidence appearing real. Fear. Now, a child may have some aspects of fear that are unreasonable. And we have to encourage them that there's not a monster under the bed. There's not a monster waiting upstairs, and you have to go turn on the light and make sure, and so on. You know, some of the crazy stuff that the media puts out in games and in movies and so on, no wonder poor kids have fears. They're sick. It's garbage. But yet there's a demand for it, apparently, because they keep making it. And it takes millions to make a film. But yet, that's what they're able to do. But we don't need to fear. There are threats that are very real. You know, the power of darkness is a real entity. But we don't need to fear the darkness. Praise God. We can step forward in victory. Because if fear is real, the presence of God is real. And his deliverance is real. Amen. And his name is powerful. Praise God. Now, we're a ways away now from COVID. However, it's still around. And we did see some severe respiratory complications. We even saw death. And we know it was a difficult thing. But most of us had flu symptoms. Most of us, we tested positive, and it was just like we had the flu. Or maybe bronchitis or something like that. We can't let the fear hover over us of that aspect. We can't live in fear. We shouldn't be foolish either. I'm not advocating that. But I can't walk in fear of these things, but I've got to be strong and courageous. Amen. Those that are staying home because of their fear need to come back. Now, we know, God bless those watching tonight. We know there are some who are at home and have to remain there for now and not able to come. And we thank the Lord for that. But if they are, thank the Lord, they're able to watch, not because they have to stay home, but because they're able to see. But it's not the same as being in the atmosphere of worship and in the presence of the Lord. Thank God for the privilege that we have today of being in the presence of God. So when fear tries to paralyze you, be strong and courageous. Thank the Lord. And remember who it is that's saying that to you. Not again, not some philosopher, not some trainer, not somebody who is promoting a self-help agenda, but recognizing it's God, amen, and His power. Now, a very real battle in our day, and it's becoming even more intense and even a stronger battle as we move into this new century, to overcome sin, the flesh, and the devil. That's been a battle all along. That's been a difficulty that believers have faced from Adam and Eve. And it's one that we're going to continue to face. But here's the key in the Word of God. Crucify the flesh. Now, that doesn't mean nail yourself to a cross. That doesn't mean you do harm or damage to yourself. Paul emphasized crucifying in the book of Galatians. Three times he mentions it. Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ. Chapter 5 and verse 24, if you are Christ, you crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts. Chapter 6, verse 14, I glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am crucified unto the world, and the world unto me. He made sure it was going both directions. He made sure there was no cracks in the armor, no way that he could be ambushed in any way. So, get rid of the actions and the works of the flesh. Okay, Sister Kendra, go ahead and put Galatians 5, 19 through 21 up, and if you do it in the NLT. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. I'm going to read it to you from the Complete Jewish Bible. You know, kind of interesting to be able to go online. I use Bible Gateway. There are lots of programs that are free that you could use and look at different translations. I just happened on the Complete Jewish Bible and thought, huh, that's interesting. I think I'll use that one. So here's how it reads. It is perfectly evident what the old nature does. It expresses itself in sexual immorality, impurity, and indecency, involvement with the occult and with drugs, infuriating, fighting, becoming jealous, and getting angry, in selfish ambition, factionalism, intrigue, and envy, in drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. So these works of the flesh are, we know, rampant in society today and getting worse. It's a prophecy from Scripture. Evil men shall wax worse and worse, or increase in their immorality. But you have to remember what the Scripture says. These lifestyles are going to keep you out of the kingdom of God. That's what we've got to remember. Not to justify, not to excuse, not to take a vacation and see what this is all about, and then come back and repent. Thank God we can. But it'd be a whole lot better to stay in the work in the will of God rather than be tainted by these things and then find the forgiveness in the Lord. But you have to remember, these lifestyles will keep you out of the kingdom of God. And it doesn't just say it in Galatians 5, 1 Corinthians 6 also. And so, be strong and courageous. Overcome evil. Overcome sin. Don't let it drag you down. Don't let it be your master. Don't become the slave of those things that are wrong. Crucify that flesh. Amen. And thank the Lord. We can identify with the Lord in that aspect. The Bible says in Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What? You can overcome evil? Apparently. That's what it says. And so, we focus on what God is directing us to do and move into that realm of overcoming. When you overcome something, you overcome a habit. And you replace it with a good habit. And that habit is no longer, you know, it can be with you. It can strike up again, you know, chewing your fingernails, whatever it might be. And it can return, but you've overcome it. Don't go back to it. And there are things far worse than that, obviously. And we know Romans 12:21 applies to interpersonal relationships. But overcoming addictions, overcoming the problems that would hold you back from walking clean spiritually and drug-free, that's what God wants you to move into. Amen. That's when you need to hear, be strong and courageous. Praise God, because the hand of the Lord can help you to overcome. Overcome failures. Failures don't need to be final. You can learn from failures to know, I better not go that way again. I better not do those things again. I better stay away from that. Then you learn, and you move into a better realm of knowing the blessings of the Lord. Praise God. And pray like the psalmist prayed in Psalm 19. The three prayers in particular in verse 12, 13, and 14. Verse 12, he prayed, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Faults that he knew about, but maybe nobody else did. And the Lord was convicting him and letting him know, that's wrong. That's wrong. You need to correct that. And so his prayer was, cleanse me from those secret faults. And then he prayed, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Presumptuous means you can, well, we say it. It's easier to get forgiveness than permission. You know, and we, and usually that's on an interpersonal level. But when we're talking about our walk with God, we want him to hold us back from presumptuous sins. We don't want them to have dominion over us. No dominion. We take dominion. Amen. And that power is to be there in our lives. Then the third prayer, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Praise God. And I'm thankful the Lord can answer each of those prayers, cleansing you from secret faults, keeping you back from presumptuous sins, and your words and the meditations of your heart being acceptable to him. Praise God, because that's what he wants you to do. Now, we talked about the works of the flesh, and by comparison, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said, a good tree is going to have good fruit. A bad tree is going to have bad fruit. Pretty simple analogy there. And then he said, you will know them, talking about individuals who are, you know, trying to put on a righteous front. You'll know them by their fruit. Praise God. Now, let's go back to Galatians 5 and verse 22. And here's the fruit of the Spirit. Kendra, if you can put up the NLT on that one, please. Galatians 5:22. And I like the way the Living Bible starts out here. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives. That's the way it's got to be. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I thought it was interesting how that many translations ended with, there's no conflict with Jewish laws. I'd say there's no conflict with any laws. It's all positive. You're not going to go to jail having these things in your life. There's not going to be anybody slap you with a fine. No, they're going to pat you on the back. They're going to say, you're doing good. You know, I like being around you. I like talking to you. Amen. Because you're manifesting what God wants you to manifest. Now, there may be an element of conviction that they feel because they're used to profanity and, off-color jokes and that sort of thing. But your fruit is different, praise God, because it's inspired by the Lord. And you've let Him control your life. You've gotten rid of the works of the flesh, crucified them, killed them, eliminated them, and now you're ready to take on this new fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Praise God. And abiding in the Lord is part of that fruit bearing, abiding, remaining, being steadfast. John 15 and 4, Jesus made the reference to include a relationship going both ways. Abide in me, and I in you. Okay, it's not just a one-way relationship here. The Lord wants that relationship to be two-way. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Praise God. You probably noticed the leaves budding out on the trees now, turning green. Praise God. On Monday when I was driving into Soldotna, I've been eyeing the trees here for a few days, wondering when it's going to turn green. And I thought, is that green showing up there? And sure enough, and man, it's really showing up now. Praise God. Because those branches abide and the leaves come forth. And likewise, if they were fruit-bearing, that's what would happen. So the Lord is telling us to abide in order to bear fruit, to have more fruit, to have much fruit. All stages are the result of abiding in Him. Not breaking loose and dashing off to do something that is not pleasing to the Lord, but to remain in the realm of His blessing and His strength. Praise God. And that abiding is when you need to hear, be strong and courageous, because there's a lot of voices calling you to go another direction. A lot of pressure being put on you to do something other than what God has called you to do. Amen. So we face different tests and different trials. David is at Ziklag instead of being on the throne. He's got enemies of other nations that are in the land, and he's got Saul, King Saul, throwing javelins at him. So he's being pursued, not only from the enemies that are in the land, but from King Saul. The Amalekites have burned the city of Ziklag and taken all captive. All the men who were with David have lost their families. They didn't kill anybody, apparently, but they took them all captive. And David is greatly distressed. In fact, the men who were following him are talking of stoning him because of the complications that have come now and the losses that they have had. And David grieved right along with them. You look at 1 Samuel 30 and verse 4, and probably some of you can identify with what David was feeling. 1 Samuel 30 and 4. David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. You ever been there? Unfortunately, life hands us some of the difficulties that we face, some of the situations we endure. We've been there. We know what David was feeling. We've had those losses. We've had those defeats. But I hope we can go on to verse 6. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I wonder how he did that. I wonder what he was thinking. I wonder what self-talk he engaged in. I wonder what promises from the Lord he recalled. You know, three times he told King Saul about the bear and the lion, rather, when he was facing Goliath. The Lord delivered me from that bear and that lion. Almost the next sentence. The Lord helped me against that bear and that lion. Three times in just a short span. Did he remind himself of the bear and the lion again? I don't know. But the scripture gives that short little phrase. David encouraged himself in the Lord. It's what you need to do. Be strong and courageous. Praise God. Even when the tears are flowing down your cheeks, even when you have no more tears and the sobs have worn you out, encourage yourself in the Lord. Praise God. Get back up and see what the Lord would have you to do. That's what David did. David inquired of the Lord. What should I do? The Lord said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. That's what the Lord told him. Praise God. So, his 600 men who were in debt and who were distressed and who were feeling so down when they first came to him, you can imagine how they're feeling now with all of their families taken captive and the city that they were in burned to the ground. They're feeling really distressed, but they get up and go. Because David said, the Lord told me to pursue, to overtake them, and without fail, we're going to recover everybody. We're going to get everybody back. All your wives, all your children, everybody. The Lord said it. Praise God. So, David attacked with the 400 men. Remember, 200 of them were too exhausted to continue on. So David said, remain right here and guard our resources, our supplies, and the rest of us will go on. 400 brought forth a great victory. Praise God. So, encourage yourself in the Lord. You need to hear, be strong and very courageous when you stand for your family. The message of media is very strong against morality. And against marriage. We're hearing all kinds of garbage today. So much of it against what the Bible teaches. And the world is making its message stronger. There isn't a mockery. What? What are you talking about? There's not 40 genders and all of this kind of garbage. No, they're just pushing it even harder. And so you've got to take a stand. Amen. It's stronger, it's more prevalent, and we're seeing it everywhere. But you stand on the powerful principles of the Word of God that have stood for thousands of years. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. It's a known fact that communist Russia tried to dismantle the family and marriage. And now communist Russia has been dismantled. And the threat of nuclear war is there still. We're living in a time that we cannot be complacent. We cannot be just comfortable. The urgency of the hour needs us to stand up and hear the Lord saying, be strong and courageous. Praise God. And take that stand. Stand with the armor of God. You know, David, David's tried on Saul's armor. He's a teenager. He's probably pretty strong. But he hasn't tried that armor. He's tried his sling. He's been successful. But he hasn't tried that armor. And I try to picture in my mind, was he stumbling around? Was he staggering under the weight of that? Probably not. He just was not used to it. He said, I don't need it. I'll take care of it the way God wants me to. Praise God. Don't stagger or stumble with the armor of God. Go forth courageous and strong into battle. Amen. And know the blessings that are there for the power of God to help you to stand. Because the family is being attacked today. Very much so. The new morality is just the old immorality. In a different dress, a different name. And we've got to stand. Praise God. And you stop and think now. The Lord, with 3.5 years of ministry completed, and after the resurrection, he's appearing time and again to his disciples. There's 11 of them now. And he charges them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples. Baptize them in the name. Praise God. And they took that charge. They took that commission. They got another one in the upper room. And so now 12 of them are ready to step forward. 12? That's it? And yet that was the beginning of a force that changed the world. Praise God. And that force is what you operate with. That power is what you step forward with. If you want to. If you hear the voice. If you follow the Spirit. Be strong and very courageous. Praise God. Now, Israel heard it. Moses heard it 3 times. Joshua heard it 3. He passed it on to the people of Israel. You can't convert a world that has converted you. I'll say it again. You cannot convert a world that has converted you. Not supposed to work that way. You're supposed to be different. Not different just to be different, but different because of his power in your life. Praise God. Praise God. You've got to be serious about overcoming sin. It's got to be something that you recognize. Colossians 3 and 2. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. So easy to do. This everything around us. And that's what we focus on. No, things above. Amen. That takes faith, doesn't it? That takes stepping out in faith, believing that the Lord's going to be there to help you. He's going to be there to strengthen you. He's going to be there to help you overcome and to help you stand. Praise God. Now, we're different because of divine power and divine nature. Peter mentioned both in his second letter, chapter 1 and verse 3. If you would put these up, please, they're very important. 2 Peter 1 and 3. This one mentions divine power. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What? All things that pertain to life and godliness? He has given to us? Where? See, that's what you got to do. You got to be looking for it. You got to be seeking it. You got to be in tune with it. God's not going to come slap you upside the head and say, hey, pay attention. How many times do I have to tell you? No. He's a comforter. He wants you to seek him. He wants you to call on him. He wants you to desire him more than the things of this world. And so all things that pertain unto life and godliness have been given to you through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The devil wants you to think you're called to defeat and shame. The devil wants you to think it's going to be failure. It's going to be falling. Oh, no. Glory and virtue is what God has in store for us. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. See that? Divine power. Divine nature. It's not all on you. No, you connect, you abide, you crucify the flesh, you manifest the fruit of the Spirit, you walk in the Spirit, you let the Spirit have control over you. This is what happens. Praise God. And you escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And oh, Hollywood wants to promote that so much. And all the perversion that they're bringing out now. And the media is full of it. And we've got to be able to manifest what God wants us to manifest. Praise God. Because he said, I send you forth. I send you forth. We may have the reaction of Gideon. Who are you talking to? No, we've got to be able to. And the Lord said, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Do you need to hear, be strong and very courageous? I do. I don't like this idea of a lamb among wolves. I want to see Goliath fall. I want to see everyone recovered. I want to see the victory that God has for us. Lamb among wolves. I better be hearing. Be strong and very courageous. I better be remembering he's not going to fail me nor forsake me. I better remember there are more that be with us than that be with all of them that are opposed to me. Praise God. And I'm thankful there's that power there. So send I you, he told those disciples. And they're looking at him. He's got scars on his hands. Spear went in his side. I don't know if there was evidence of the thorns in his scalp. I don't know what he looked like. Glorified body. Could appear out of nowhere and yet could stretch forth his hands to Thomas. Sit down with the disciples and eat bread and fish. And what kind of body that was. Glorified body, we call it. So send I you. And I'm thankful that one of the, Mark 16, one of the commissions where he went with them, confirming the word with signs following. You're not going alone. Praise God. Stand up. Step out. Let the power of the Lord work through you. Praise God. Pray and preach. The disciples prayed in Acts 4 for boldness to speak the word. And God answered, and the place was shaken. And they were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Amen. I remember the speaker at camp saying, there are some things that, you know, we hear it said sometimes that everything that was fulfilled in the book of Acts has been fulfilled in the 21st century. Well, I've prayed and prayed and prayed, and I haven't been shaken. I think that would be a very cool thing to happen. Amen. Right here. Would that scare you? Or would that thrill you? That God is so powerful and so in tune with you and loves you so much that he's going to show his power in that way. How close was the earthquake when Jesus was on the cross to this earthquake? That had to be getting some people's attention. Praise God. And it got the apostles' attention. And they got up and spoke the word of God with boldness. With great power gave they witness of the resurrection. Praise God. And oh, thank the Lord, that kind of power is available. Testify and teach, because greater is he that is with you. Amen. And I love to read John 17 and 20, because Jesus prayed for those who will believe through your word. That's what it says. Neither pray I for these alone, but for all them who believe on me through their word. The Lord's waiting for your word to go forth, your witness, your testimony. Amen. And he's going to reach into those lives that you reach and teach. 2 Timothy 2 and 2. That's a very accurate caliber, 222. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. You know, Paul is emphasizing. I haven't just spoken this once or twice. And there have been a lot of people who have heard me who can verify and testify about it. You've heard it. Many others have heard it. I want you to commit that to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. It's going to spread. Praise God. The ripple effect is going to be there. And that's what God intends. For you to be able to teach. And those that you teach, be able to teach others also. Praise God. Because you've heard it from me. You've read it in the Word of God. You've heard it from many others. A host of witnesses. Praise God. And you know it's true. You know it's real. You know it's powerful. You've seen it change lives again and again. Praise God. So you can go forth with the words of the Lord ringing in your heart. Be strong and of good courage. Thank the Lord. Don't fear. He's with you. He won't fail you. He won't forsake you. Amen. You hold on to each strand of those promises and believe that God's going to work through you. Let's stand together, please. Praise God. Now, I've talked a lot about battles and what you're up against and what you're facing and how you can overcome, how you can remain committed, how you can be strong and courageous. But I know there are situations that come to us that, like David, and his men, we weep until we have no more strength to weep. It just seems like the defeat is final. And that's it. But here's what I want us to do. I want those of you, now our prayer list very often has physical needs that we focus on. And those needs are important. I believe the Lord delights in healing us. In fact, that's why he shed his blood as well. His stripes laid upon his back were for your healing. And with his stripes, we were healed. And the Word of God puts it in past tense as though it's done. It's taken care of. God will do it. Physical healing. But there are spiritual battles that some of you are facing. There are obstacles and barriers that are in your way that you're having trouble overcoming. And I'm asking you to come. If you want prayer, if you're facing those situations, if you have need of prayer and your brothers and sisters to lay hands on you and fortify you and put a wall around you, a fire that the enemy cannot penetrate, I believe God would do that right here, right now. Praise God. Please come and stand. Stand right. closer if you're in need of prayer.